This is Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Catherine Loper.
And I'm Jason Smith. While it may not have been the worst flu season ever, this winter, every cough, sneeze, or fever seemed to bring about an epidemic of fear about the flu.
Maybe it was just all the media attention, or maybe it was because most of us don't actually understand what the difference is between the flu and the common cold and how the flu is diagnosed. Producer Mark Lavonier turned to the Centers for Disease Control to learn the basics about the flu vaccine, and how the flu is spread. He spoke with Dr. Angela Campbell, medical officer of the CDC's Influenza Division.
Welcome to Take Care, Angela.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how do you know you have the flu? Are there particular symptoms, maybe a combination of symptoms that are only associated with the flu?
Well, that's a really good question. Not exactly. I will say typical flu illness generally comes on suddenly with an abrupt onset. That's pretty classic, of fever and cough. Other symptoms might include sore throat, body aches, headache, and fatigue. In children, we see often nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. So as you can tell, it's difficult to distinguish flu from other respiratory illnesses on the basis of this mix of signs and symptoms alone. There are tests that can differentiate influenza from other respiratory illnesses, but most people who are otherwise healthy don't necessarily need testing.
And is that because all of the symptoms, any certain symptoms, add up to this could be the flu, or is there a reliable test for the flu?
There are reliable tests. It's really because most people who are otherwise healthy and get the flu have mild illness, and they don't necessarily need to seek medical care. However, once flu activity has been identified in the community and people are going to their physician, a clinical diagnosis can often be made just based on the signs and symptoms most consistent with flu, so that abrupt onset of fever and cough and potentially other symptoms. There are individual patients, such as those at high risk or hospitalized patients, for whom testing is generally indicated, but we generally advise that tests are most useful when they are likely to yield clinically relevant results that are going to influence clinical management decisions.
Basically, if you are concerned that the symptoms are lining up, you should be seen by somebody.
You should be seen, particularly if you are in a high-risk group, such as adults over 65, young children, or people with underlying medical conditions, because these people are at high risk for complications from flu. We don't necessarily recommend that everyone with flu needs to be seen, but certainly people in those high-risk groups or the very young and the very old, we really do want them to be seen right away.
Okay. We're going to talk about myths of the flu in just a few minutes here, but I wanted to talk about vaccines right now. What is the current vaccine for the flu like in terms of effectiveness this year and really in general?
That's a great question. Actually, we just published interim flu vaccine effectiveness estimates for this season in mid-February, and the overall vaccine effectiveness was 36%. So what that means is that a vaccinated person's risk of having to go to the doctor because of flu was reduced by more than one-third. Now, that did vary by the different viruses that are circulating. Effectiveness was 25% against influenza A H3N2, which was the predominant virus this season. But it was much higher, 50 to 67% against H1N1 and 42% against the influenza B viruses. And we're seeing a lot of influenza B viruses in this later part of the season. So to put these in context with past seasons, these are really pretty similar to what has been observed in the past. There has been a large study called a meta-analysis that was performed that looked at a number of estimates from several seasons. And in that study, they found the average effectiveness for H3N2 viruses was around 30%, compared with 50 to 60% for the H1N1 and influenza B viruses.
Why do some vaccines end up less effective than others? Is it because viruses are different?
It's a great question, and we have several hypotheses for why the vaccines provide less benefit, in particular against H3N2 viruses. These are all being actively studied. One idea that has come up in recent years that seems to be playing a part for H3N2 viruses is that when these are optimized for growth in eggs, which is actually required for the production of most U.S. flu vaccines, the viruses develop egg-adapted changes. And this does occur with a greater frequency in these H3N2 viruses. And we think that's contributing to why the vaccine ends up being less effective, because the vaccine viruses were grown up in eggs. In general, H3N2 viruses do actually have unique characteristics compared to the other viruses, because they tend to just change a little bit more year to year. And we're also realizing that a person's own immune system likely responds to vaccination differently depending on a number of factors, but in particular on when they were born and which flu viruses they were first exposed to, either through vaccination or infection. So there's really a number of factors that play a part and seem to affect the H3N2 effectiveness in particular.
So it would stand to reason that it's these factors that influence the reason that it's recommended you get a flu shot every year.
Exactly. That's right. Actually, all flu viruses do have small changes year to year, and that's why the vaccine needs to be reformulated every season.
How do you know which one you've received? Is that something you're told when you get a flu shot, or is it based on what strain of the virus is more of a problem during that flu season?
So every year, there are trivalent and quadrivalent vaccines that are manufactured, and each one of those vaccines will have a virus, an H3N2 virus, an H1N1 virus, and at least one B virus. The quadrivalent has two B viruses, because typically we see more than one B virus circulate in a given season. So you can be certain that when you get vaccinated, you are receiving protection against multiple viruses. And that's actually really important, because even though vaccine effectiveness may be less than we had hoped for H3N2 viruses, for example, it was still quite good for H1 and B viruses. You can ask your clinic which particular vaccine product you're receiving, but in general, we know that not all products are likely to be uniformly available in any practice, and we really want people to not delay vaccination sort of shopping around for a product, because there is no preferential recommendation.
And we see this in the campaigns as well, where just get your flu shot, keep it as simple as possible, sort of let people who are knowledgeable about this worry about those details. Is that fair to say?
That's right. We struggle to get the number of children and adults vaccinated every year that we would like to see anyway. And so it's really most important just to encourage vaccination and make that a very straightforward message.
We're going to talk later in the show with a doctor leading a trial out of Rochester testing a potential universal flu vaccine. Are we close to a universal vaccine?
Well, I will be curious what your next guest says, but I will say a universal vaccine is certainly a wonderful but long-term goal, and this task poses enormous challenges. That work is being done, but it's still very challenging. CDC participates with a broad intergovernmental agency partnership that supports development of new and better vaccines. And these efforts have already yielded some successes, but part of the effort is the eventual development of this universal vaccine that you're talking about. I certainly can't predict the future with respect to a timeline, but a number of government agencies and private companies have begun that work. We are hopeful, but I think it's still off in the future. I think that we have to work with what we have right now.
Let's get into a couple of myths about the flu. Can you carry the flu without really experiencing symptoms?
Well, influenza viruses are not like bacteria that can colonize your respiratory tract, or we actually all have bacteria in our gastrointestinal tract. And those bacteria, some of them, can always be present in a person without causing disease. But influenza really isn't like that. People tend to have an acute infection and shed virus. That means they have virus coming from their respiratory tract for a period of time, and then it's gone. Some people who have flu may not show symptoms. So it is possible that some people have relatively asymptomatic illness, and it is possible that those people are carrying the virus, you could say, but it's still for a time-limited period. Healthy people often have the virus present in them and may be able to shed that virus even beginning a day before their symptoms develop and then up to about a week afterwards. So it's still not truly a carrier, but people can have the virus at periods when they don't have symptoms, but it doesn't stay for long periods of time.
That's really interesting. Can you get sick after getting a flu shot? This is one that I've often heard and heard as a reason for people not to get it because they don't want that initial sickness.
Right. We hear that as well. And in reality, you really cannot get influenza from the flu vaccine. That doesn't mean that vaccine won't sometimes cause people to feel a little bit ill or have pain where they received the vaccination. But you really can't get influenza. One thing to keep in mind is that a lot of people are being vaccinated at a time of year when a lot of respiratory viruses are circulating. And so it's not uncommon to become ill with any of those viruses around the time that you received your flu vaccination. I think that sometimes confuses the picture a little bit.
When you have received the vaccine and have come down with the flu, does having had the vaccine minimize you being contagious, or is that at the same level?
So having had the flu vaccine, we do think, based on some data, can cause you to have a milder illness. I don't think that's exactly the same as being contagious, because it's difficult to say sort of what level of symptoms you need to be able to pass that on to other people. We often advise people to stay home for at least 24 hours after their fever resolves. That tends to be the period of highest likelihood of transmitting virus to others. Even if you are vaccinated and have a little bit of a milder illness, you could still be contagious, but it's just very difficult to quantify that. But we do have data to suggest that it's true that vaccination really can give you milder disease. And I would say, therefore, you're probably not going to shed virus for as long or as at high levels.
Well, Angela, thank you so much for your time today speaking with us on Take Care.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to be with you.